We continue on with our series on abundance this week, and I'm reading from a passage in Ephesians where Paul is talking to the church in Ephesus, talking about what their old life was like and what their new life could be like. So from Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old, stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it. All of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with a whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own with no help from us. Then he picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. Now God has us where he wants us, with all the time in the world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. So how abundant was your life this week? Where did you find abundance? As we continue on with this theme of abundance, I continue to ponder Jesus' claim that he came that we might have eternal and abundant life. It's an interesting thing to me that no matter the circumstances of life, some people can always find abundance in their lives, even now when we're not doing much, and some just never do. It's pretty easy to tell the difference. As soon as I start chatting with people on the phone or when they come into the office, I pretty much know what camp they're in, either the abundance or non-abundance camp. Somehow their demeanors are just different. They see their lives and the world differently. Last week, I asked those of you who were in the service to draw two large circles on either side of a sheet of paper. And these were going to be your plates. What you put on your plate is what determines how you live your life. So on the one plate, I asked you to write the things that normally take your time and energy, physically, mentally, and emotionally. Then I asked you on the other plate to write the things that you know would lead to a better life, a life of abundance for you. Then compare the two. Do the things on your first plate that you actually do contribute to a rich and abundant life, are they what you want to be doing? Or do you need to take some things off of your first plate in order to add the things you need to live fully in the manner that God wants us to live? Do the two match up pretty well? If they do, then presumably you are living abundantly, and you have to recognize that. Today I want to focus in on something that's on our second plate just a little further, something we should have on our second plate anyway in order to create abundant life. And you have to figure out what you need on that plate before you can rearrange the first one, take some things off, change it around. And what I want to explore is probably the most important thing we need on our plates in order to maximize our lives. And that is a sense of purpose. People who live fully have things on their plates which fulfill their sense of purpose. The more our lives align with our purpose, the more we will experience satisfaction with life and a sense of our part in the greater whole. John Maxwell, a Christian leader, author, and speaker, said that people who use time wisely spend it on activities that advance their overall purpose in life. Again, people who use time wisely spend it on activities that advance their overall purpose in life. Now, many of us will say, I don't know my purpose. And often that's true. We haven't explicitly identified our purpose. We haven't named it as such. But people who live their purpose wring so much more out of life. So I want to just for a minute now give you some hints as to how you might identify your purpose. Number one, your purpose will be something that serves the greater good, that makes the world a better place. It will always be something that you are doing for others, for the world. Secondly, your purpose will include something you're passionate about. It might be a cause, a group of people. It could be creation in general. It could be serving beauty. But it will always include something about which you care very much. However, and this is a caveat, it won't be something specific. It won't be a task that has a limited amount of time. Like, my purpose is to care for my family. That might be part of your purpose, but it's encapsulated in the full purpose for your life. Because if it's a specific thing, it limits your purpose. Your purpose can be lived out in all kinds of ways, and it weaves itself through your life. It could be something like, my purpose is to promote health and wellness. Or my purpose is to bring beauty to the world. Or I live to bring joy into people's lives. And if you look back, you've probably been living your purpose to a degree without even knowing it, because it's just part of who you are. It's in you. Thirdly, your purpose will use your unique gifts, skills, and abilities. Now, you may have to explore that a little bit. Think about that, even journal. You might need to hone your gifts. But it will include something that you are able to do. And it won't include things that you can't do. There are others who will do what you can't do. As they say, you do you. And finally, your purpose will not be what others tell you you are or what you should do. When we get all wrapped up in others' expectations, we probably won't be living our purpose. We will be doing what others expect us to do. And that usually doesn't work. In fact, it often makes us quite miserable. A lot of people live this way because of the expectations people put on them early in life. There's an ancient Greek playwright about 500 years before Jesus. His name was Euripides. And he once said, there is just one life for each of us, our own. If we don't live our own lives, no one is going to live it for us. Over 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul reminds us that we can be too influenced by the world, by the goals of the world, by the temptations of the world, and that drags us into sin. That is, we miss the mark of who and what we truly can be, how we truly can live. And that's exactly what sin is. That's the meaning of sin. We miss the mark of being who we can be. And he says, remember that when you lived that way, chasing the shiny things of the world, when you lived in ways that pleased others and not God, or when you lived only for selfish, self-serving pleasure, it was life-killing. But, he says, but thank God that God doesn't leave us there. God, in his mercy, wants better for us. God has saved us through Christ. He showed us who we are and what we must be about. God gave us purpose to do good in the world, to change the world as Jesus did, to live in and for Christ serving the world. One of my favorite authors, and I believe one of the world's wise elders, is Parker Palmer. His book, The Courage to Teach, was transformative for me and is still probably the most recommended book on my shelf. Parker Palmer not only has a passion for education, he has a deep desire to see everyone live their fullest lives. A few years ago, on the cusp of his 80th birthday, Parker Palmer wrote in his book, On the Brink of Everything. He said, "I don't and can't know the meaning of my life, let alone dictate or control it. All I can control are my own intentions and my willingness to give myself to them. May they always be to serve rather than show off." Parker Palmer knew his purpose. His life was found in giving himself in service, particularly in finding ways to promote better methods of education. He founded the Center for Courage and Renewal, which has had a global effect on education. I think that part of the reason for so much depression and anxiety these days is that people don't feel they have a purpose. And some don't feel they even have a reason to live, let alone get up in the morning. We all have purpose. We may have to take some time to figure it out. I recently rewatched one of the most popular TED Talks of all time. The talk was delivered in 2009, and there have been thousands of TED Talks since, but this talk remains one of the top five presentations, with over 53 million views. It's by a fellow named Simon Sinek, S-I-N-E-K. What he is advocating for is that people and organizations find their why, W-H-Y, their why, their reason for being. He says that a lot of people and organizations know their what, in fact, 100% know what they do, and some know their how, the processes by which we accomplish something, but very few come from a place of why we do what we do. Yet, he says, once we identify our why, our lives and our purpose become clearer, and we are more effective as humans and as organizations. What is your why? What is your purpose for getting up in the morning? What is your purpose for life? When we know that, we will know what abundance looks and feels like. Why do you spend your time and energy on the things you do? Perhaps once we know this, we'll be able to clear our plates of the things we don't need to be doing. Paul says that God has prepared good things for us to do, which is true. We will have to decide for ourselves what those good things are. Whatever they are, they will give us a sense of living our purpose, which in turn will translate into abundant life and will give us joy. We all have a purpose, no matter what our skills, our jobs, our age, our ability. The more we can align our time and energy with our purpose, the more abundant our lives will be. We have something God needs us to do to make the world a better place. That is our life's calling. I love this quote by Richard Bach. He says, "Here is a test to find whether your mission on earth is finished. If you're alive, it isn't." May we take time this week to reflect on our why. In the meantime, live an abundant life.